Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Lance and Dave, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Who's that?
This is Lance.
Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm Dave. I'm right here.
I know you, Dave.
Yeah. I've got that 45 in my basement.
Oh, God, here we go. Oh, jeez.
That's all I'll say. But I still have it.
You know what? That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
You still have it?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so let's forget that. okay, who started this, for lack of a better question?
Take it away, Lance.
Sure, yeah. No, I guess you can blame me for that. So at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, we kind of came up with a kernel of an idea to celebrate the music from Illinois. We didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into, and I had done a couple of exhibits with Dave Hoekstra when I was at the Elmhurst History Museum, and so I called him up and I said, "We have this idea. Do you think we can kind of get our heads around it? Can we accurately tell a story?" And we kind of agreed that we really needed to sort of make sure it was a very diverse story from soul, from gospel to soul to the kind and beyond, Chance the Rapper, everything. And so we, I don't know, probably over a year ago, we started this project, and it just opened about 2 weeks ago.
What do we see there? I mean, I had a list, and I misplaced it, but I had a bunch of cool stuff in it, like Benny Goodman's clarinet, I think, and some other items right?
The exhibit's called The State of Sound, A World of Music from Illinois. It's at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library in Springfield. And Dave wrote it. Dave Hoekstra wrote it. He's on the line with us here. And but the exhibit really sort of tries to tackle the important music stories from Illinois. And that is really where Dave should jump in and talk about how he approached telling all these different types of stories about all this type of music in our 3,000 square foot space.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried to make it a celebration, you know what I mean? We're living in kind of cynical and strange times, so I wanted to show music as a point of diversity, as a unifier, and I wanted people to feel kind of upbeat when they left the exhibit and stuff. You know, I saw it obviously for the first time last week, and I tried to go through with a neutral point of view, as opposed, you know, if I wasn't involved. But man, I'll tell you, you go in there and the diversity just rushes across you. I mean, it's really impressive the way all these different forms of music that maybe people don't realize are brought out in this exhibit. And Lance and his team did just a great job, you know, and the way they even, and Lance and I really haven't talked about this, but the way he even structured it, I mean, you walk in and you asked about what you see. The first thing you see is spiritual and empowerment. There's Mahalia Jackson. Then across the way from Mahalia Jackson's John Prine and Steve Goodman with Folk and Carl Sandburg.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't even know this, how Lance kind of, I don't know if it's kind of chronological, but it's really moving to see all this diverse music in one space. That's my takeaway from going through it last week.
Yeah, and all from Illinois. And
right.
It's the Abraham Lincoln Museum, Presidential Library and Museum, that is holding this exhibit, right?
Yep.
And that goes until January 23rd, 2022.
That's exactly right.
Do you have to order tickets and make a reservation to go through with the COVID protocols? How does it work?
Well, actually, the good thing is it's $15 to get in, but because we're a state agency, our lovely governor decided that we could be an example. And so if you have at least one COVID shot, you just need to roll up and show that you've got a COVID shot and you can get in for free.
Right on.
And, so that's a great thing. And
yep.
And I would say one of the things that's probably the key for the exhibit, John, is that so Dave wrote this exhibit, and it was a big challenge to try to figure out, you know, who we should talk about. But then we set upon trying to find artifacts from the actual artists or their families if that artist isn't around anymore. And that was quite an undertaking. So once Dave had kind of landed on who we should talk about, then it was sort of my job to run around and look for ways to approach the artists themselves or their families if they're not with us, and talk about the exhibit, talk about what they would like to consider loaning us, what would help tell their story. And a lot of these folks really took a very considerate amount of time thinking about what they would loan us, and we've got some just amazing artifacts in this show. So the stars are Dave's words that have been turned into little mini documentaries about these music genres and these artists, and then these amazing artifacts that are throughout the show.
What are the hours of the exhibit?
We are 9 to 5 every day of the week.
Oh, wow.
We never close except for like two holidays a year. So,
and this is in Springfield, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the right downtown Springfield.
Yeah, Abraham, and I got my COVID shot, so, you know, you say freebie to a radio guy, they're going to be there.
It's funny you mention that, John, because there's another initiative that we would like to get you involved in. So as part of the gallery, we built a radio studio right in the middle of the gallery, and we are inviting radio DJs from all over the state to come to Springfield and broadcast back to their home locations.
Right.
And the people walking through the gallery can plug in and listen to whatever it is you're doing, whether you're between commercials, whether you're live on the air, no matter what's going on in your studio, our patrons can listen in, and it's sort of a fishbowl experience for them. And it really, I mean, radio was the delivery method of the music that shaped our state. So
true.
We're kind of utilizing this you know, in-gallery experience for having these DJs from all over the state sort of be a part of the presentation.
I did a couple interviews last week. It really wasn't that hard to be there in the studio and doing it.
Right. Well, you know how to do an interview, Dave.
It's like the old GN. I mean, people, it's great. I mean, people.
Yeah, were people looking at you?
Yeah, people like looking at you, wave to them and stuff, yeah.
Were you over in the Tribune Tower? I hated that studio. Yeah. We're going to do the show from the Fishbowl Studio. Oh, God, really? We're going to break and do some more when we come back on 720 WGN. We're in the middle of a great conversation, at least I hope it is, I'm enjoying it, Lance Tauszer and Dave Hoekstra, who have together formed the State of Sound, a World of Music from Illinois, on display at the Abraham Lincoln Museum in Springfield from now until January 23rd, 2022. We had a couple of calls. Will you be streaming anything? Are you doing any virtual experiences? Have you given any of that kind of thing consideration?
Yeah, you know, we're not going to do any virtual walkthroughs until the exhibit actually comes down. It's sort of the mindset is sort of like the people that go to a rock concert and try to record it with their phone, that the experience of being in the concert is not what you watch when somebody records it on their phone, no matter how clever you are with your video recording. So
right.
We're not going to do any virtual tours until the exhibit comes down. We will record it so that it can live on forever after when it comes down, so that people going to our website after the show comes down can sort of see what it was like to go through it. But we didn't want to sort of give away the farm, so to speak,
right,
before the show ends.
You know, thinking about the heritage of Illinois when it comes to music and turn of the century and the 20s and the flappers and the jazz and heading into Prohibition and then the war, et cetera, and rock and roll in the 50s and 60s and, you know, Chance the Rapper now, and it's REO Speedwagon, Cheap Trick, that kind of thing, but you guys have included the Kind. And that's a big deal to me because I hung out with those guys quite a bit back in that day. Mike Scheid was their promoter, and he had a record label called 360 Records.
Right.
And that was in the same building as the radio station I worked for. And so one thing led to another, and it was party time, I'll admit, but it was an era when Chicago had multiple rock bars, for lack of a better term. There was, do you remember, Dave, you remember a place called Tut's?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tut's was on the second floor, right, at Belmont and
South. It was later called the Avalon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, that was the original Quiet Night.
The Quiet, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So bands would go in there, and I got to tell you right now, I would show up, and after lubricating myself sufficiently, I would go on with the kind and sing Gloria. But I have to tell you, the bathrooms in that place, the men's room, was the most disgusting thing you've ever seen in your life. It was like a river of just God knows what. But it was rock and roll, you know. It was there was also places like was it Baby Huey's that was near Loyola?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
There was this huge, giant Baby Huey out front. And you went up some stairs to a second floor, and I think to something called the Thirsty Whale. But, I mean, these bands were playing everywhere, and the drinking age in Wisconsin was, at the time, not 21. I don't know if it was 18. Right. So rock bars right over the border in Kenosha were doing big business, and the kind went up there and performed, and I sort of followed them around. I was like, I guess they're DJ groupie, so to speak.
Nice.
Yeah, John, we get into that a little bit, at least in some of the text and in the catalog that's coming out. I mean, these, like you said, the Kind and Pez Band and even Rufus, you know, these guys played like 5-6 times a week, you know.
Absolutely.
And they do 3 or 4 sets a night, like on Rush Street. And they were really getting their chops down. It just wasn't a weekend thing. These guys work really hard, you know. It was a real ethic that they subscribed to, you know.
Yes,
yeah, actually, John, you're going to want to make a pilgrimage down to Springfield, because on display in the Power Pop section is the master tapes to the first album of the Kind. The bass player, Mark Gardner, sent us the master tapes, the track listing, and a copy of that first record that, of course, had the song you played earlier. It had Love By You.
Yeah.
And it has that very famous album cover with the arms that come out of nowhere, and they're holding the weird Hamer guitar. But there's you know, we have some real treasures in the exhibit, including the Kind.
I'm pretty sure Mark and Sandy are listening right now out in California, because I gave them a heads up.
And Lance is modest, but don't bury the lead. Lance is a musician himself. Now, I think that's another reason this exhibit breathes so well. He knew what he was talking about. So
right.
Why don't you tell him what you did there, Lance?
Yeah, Lance.
Oh, no, that's
Come
a bit of ancient history, but it shapes my career for sure.
Don't we want to hear Lance, everybody? Don't we? Yeah.
Well, you played with Material Issue. That's no small thing.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I got a degree in music business from Elmhurst College, and like all degrees, it led me to the museum field. So for the last 22 years, I've been in the museum field, and been very fortunate to do now my third project with Dave. We did a wonderful exhibit on Paul Natkin, the rock photographer.
Sure, I know Paul.
And then we did a sort of an adaptation of Dave's book on disco demolition and turned that into an exhibit. And so this is the third one that we've done together. And this one was probably the most amount of work by far. It was a much bigger project. It was a much bigger space. It, you know, put a lot of pressure on Dave to really think as sort of not only a writer, but sort of as a curator, where he had to make very tough decisions about who we could talk about and how many people we could possibly squeeze in, knowing that people were going to come through and say, hey, how come, you know, so-and-so isn't in this show? And you know, there's only so many people we could squeeze in. So we had to make a lot of tough decisions along the way, but I think we packed a lot, and it's a really great experience. It's very immersive.
Yes.
The entire gallery has been turned into a backstage experience.
Wow.
John, you really should come down.
Oh, I believe me, you're preaching to the choir.
Have you ever had a horseshoe sandwich?
Have I ever had a horseshoe sandwich?
You know,
no, I have not. No, I don't know.
Okay,
what is
it is a Central Illinois delicacy, and I'm using the finger quotes when I say delicacy.
Yeah.
A horseshoe, you start with either bread or toast. Then you put some sort of meat product on that bread or toast. Then you pile French fries on that, and then you pour melted cheese on the top, and that is a horseshoe.
And there's a place I went to last time I was down there called Sergeant Pepper's. It's a Beetle-themed restaurant, mostly breakfast, but they serve it also with chili or bacon on top of it, on top of all that.
So. This is all called a... It's a horseshoe, is the
a horseshoe. Yeah.
If I go in down, if I go into a restaurant down there and I say, hey, can I order a horseshoe?
Oh no,
like,
yeah. Everybody will know.
They make the breakfast version as well.
Yeah. Very good. Well, you sold me. Thanks for being with us, guys. We're out of time, but we can talk again somewhere down the road, and hopefully, maybe even do a show down there.
Lance, that'd be great.
Well, we'd love to have you.
Lance and Dave, thanks so much for being with us, and everybody look forward to the State of Sound, a world of music from Illinois, opening up in Springfield.